But I think we are joined by Vanessa Beely of 21st Century Wire. Are you there, Vanessa?
Yeah, I'm here, Phil. I hope the line lasts because I'm actually still outside, so I'm on the mobile.
Well, it is. I have to tell you, you've made me a believer in Skype because you're coming across loud and clear. We're so glad to talk to you because you are actually are in Syria, where mm-hmm. a major struggle has been going on since, I guess, 2011, against armed groups sponsored largely by Saudi Arabia and in the Middle East and the United States, France, and Britain, though they always claim not. We've had very dramatic, well, I suppose it's dramatic, I better ask you, news today that this gathering storm and political and military around the area called Idlib has been addressed by the Russian leader and the Turkish leader, and they have made proposals. Could you talk about that, what you understand them to be and what your assessment is?
Well, what's actually interesting, in the last hour, Syria has actually been under attack, sustained attack, by, we believe it's Israel. There are conflicting reports that Tomahawk missiles are being fired also by France, UK and US. Off the coast of Latakia. The main target has been the industrial area of Latakia. Two targets have actually been hit, one big technical industrial center and another storage area. As I said, there's very conflicting reports. Russian military sources have told me that it's definitely Israel and that the missiles are coming in off the coast of Latakia, but they're coming in from warplanes. Mm-hmm. A drone has been
By the way, are they using
down.
Lebanese airspace as has happened in
yes.
the past?
Yes. A drone has been shot down in the more inland into close to Homs, I guess, would be the closest big city to map it out for you. The attacks at the moment seem to have subsided, but of course this follows on immediately from the Sochi agreement between Turkey and Russia for a demilitarization zone in Idlib. But it also follows a previous Israeli attack on the Damascus International Airport on Saturday night, when I believe it was four missiles were intercepted that were targeting Syrian Arab Army arms depots around that area. But of course, that was also the final night of the 60th Damascus International Fair in that area. It's actually very close to the international airport. And the international airport is a civilian airport. Mm-hmm. So it's not, you know, while it may have military installations close to it, it is effectively a civilian airport. But the attacks tonight have been described as intense. There is an official statement, I believe, that what they basically did was to saturate the air with incoming missiles to distract the air defense away from the actual targets, so that the targets were hit. They couldn't, in other words, they didn't intercept the targets. Mm-hmm. The missiles that did hit the target in Latakia. Mm-hmm. Obviously, details are coming in, and you know that there are some reports that are not necessarily confirmed. But what is confirmed is that there was a major and sustained attack. It's just not confirmed. We know it is from Israel. That is confirmed by Russian military sources in the area. But as I said, there are conflicting reports that there is also it's in association with France, the UK and the US that have fired, I believe, reports are saying 24 or 28 Tomahawk missiles from vessels off the coast of Syria.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I hate to ask again, but on that, do you know where what their target was? Those missiles coming from?
No, as far as I know, the only target that has actually been hit is the industrial area in Latakia. I believe, again, 10 people are injured in this attack, but again, that's just come in the last few seconds. So, you know, all of this is probably going to change or develop through the night. But basically, I mean, what has happened is that this attack has come in clearly as Russia and Turkey, although I wouldn't put any credit in Turkey's direction. Russia, let's say, has brokered a deal which effectively derails the French, UK and US intention to attack Syria. If any, because, you know, we have to remember that their wording changed completely from it being a retaliation against a chemical attack to being a retaliation against any form of attack on Idlib. And so, therefore, I think Russia now is playing very much the diplomatic game here. It is basically bringing in Turkey and I guess giving Turkey a little bit of the control. The demilitarization zone will be controlled by Turkey and Russia. Mm-hmm. But what it's doing also, I think it's a relatively clever plan by Russia, is that what it will do, of course, is to enable civilians to leave the area via the humanitarian corridor that has been set up by Russia, that, by the way, is being shelled in the last few days by particularly terrorist groups led by Jolani. Mm-hmm. We are also hearing that the terrorist groups, again, a sort of repetition of Aleppo and Ghouta and all the other areas that have been liberated, that the terrorists are charging around $600, 300,000 Syrian pounds for civilians to enable them to leave via the humanitarian corridor. So, in other words, civilians are not able to leave. One, they are being shelled. Two, they are being forced to pay extortionate fees to be allowed to get out of Idlib via the humanitarian corridors. Mm-hmm. So the idea of the demilitarization zone, which I think is destined to be around 20 kilometers or between 15 to 20 kilometers deep, it will be policed by Russia and Turkey. Turkey has responsibility for the terrorist groups that it backs or it has sponsored consistently throughout the destabilization campaign in Syria. But what it also does is give Turkey, I guess, under the control of Russia, the card that it can be played against Europe, that at any point, of course, Turkey can open the floodgates of the Salafist groups into Europe. So, you know, there's been mixed reactions from both Syrians and Western analysts regarding this deal.
Yes.
But, you know, speaking to people in the towns around Idlib, the ceasefire, I mean, we visited in the last week, both myself and Eva Bartlett, the towns, the Christian towns of Mahadeh and Al-Skabiye, both of which are on the borders with Idlib in northern Hama. Mahadeh was hit about a week ago with Grad missiles and Grad missiles containing cluster bombs from the terrorist groups, the Western-backed terrorist groups inside Idlib. Now there are 12 martyrs from that attack, and including one young man, Shadi, who both myself and Eva met, who lost his three children, his wife and his mother in that attack. Skalbiye, the same day, or the day after, sorry, was also targeted by Nusra Front, Ar Sham and Jaish al-Islam that are camped on its doorstep in Idlib with the same type of cluster bomb missile. So for these towns and for the towns, even for the towns in Idlib where there are still civilians that are being, you know, very much held against their will in Idlib, the ceasefire comes as a relief because, you know, it has to be recognized that any military campaign in Idlib, probably more than any other area in Syria, is going to it's going to lead to a huge amount of bloodshed. And so, therefore, you know, I think we should be welcoming a diplomatic resolution. And what it's also done, of course, it's derailed the you know, chemical weapon attack plans that were being made by the terrorist groups and by the White Helmets. I mean, we've been tracking that since I've been in Syria. They've been moving the location. They've been moving the props. They've been moving the children. I mean, I've been speaking to parents of kidnapped children.
You know, I think, by the way, just to say, Vanessa, your work has been so important here because now we're in the, you've got us, I think, through 21st Century Wire, yourself, Eva Bartlett, and others have put people on alert So that now they say, no, wait a minute, I've been told by, I read here good factual information, and so I want to know where these people are, what are they doing now? And Canadians particularly are asking, because Canada participated in a removal of some of these white helmets in that strange exercise involving Israel and Jordan. And it certainly created a bunch of question marks here, which leads me to a question. I was very impressed by this development with Holland, and I think, again, I'm interested in your take, because there's a little crack in the NATO wall, I guess you could say, on the white helmets. Could talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, I mean, there is. I would be very wary of giving any credit to Holland. I mean, they have funded this group 12.5 million plus over the last few years, so I think it's very much a cynical damage limitation on their part. And I guess we need to sort of, you know, be wary of such a move. But yes, certainly, it appears to be a crack in the dike, as Moon of Alabama described it, and very aptly. I think what's also interesting is that Mayday Rescue, which is the alleged NGO, which of course is funded by a number of governments that are involved in the regime change campaign in Syria, was set up by the creator of the White Helmets, James Mazurier, in 2014, and is now based in Holland. So, you know, this has a huge impact on that organization. And of course, what it's doing now is enabling us to raise much more pertinent questions.
Oh, absolutely. You've provided the background.
In the UK Parliament to exactly how can they guarantee, which of course they can't.
You sort of have the foothold of an accountant's approach. The Dutch say, we can't find this money we're giving you.
So I think from that perspective, I mean, as I said, I would certainly not give any credit to the Dutch government, but I would certainly weaponize this move and this investigation by the Dutch government against the primary regime change cartel members, which are, of course, France, the UK and the US. But the UK actually leads the intelligence operation against Syria, in my opinion. They are the primary intelligence sort of construct manufacturers that have been used to infiltrate Syria and to attempt to, one, create a sort of shadow state inside Syria in the terrorist-held areas, but also, you know, to provide the propaganda cover for the, in inverted commas, the humanitarian intervention and aggression against Syria.
Well, if we can't credit the Dutch, we can at least credit Vanessa Bailey and 21st Century Wire and, of course, Eva Bartley. But I do believe the foundation work you did has made this possible. Now we could take all this and put it in front of parliamentarians in Canada and say, maybe you could help the Dutch figure out where the money went.
One very important thing, actually, Phil, that I did want to mention, because I know that Canada is one of the countries that has stated that it will take some of the White Helmet so-called evacuees from southern Syria. Now, in the UK, my sources have told me that the White Helmets are already in the UK, but this fact has not been disclosed to the public. What is also not being disclosed to the public, because questions have been raised in Parliament, is where these White Helmets, if indeed they are White Helmets, are going to be resettled, into which communities in the UK, which areas. So the questions now, of course, are being raised. One, why is it not being publicly disclosed that these so-called humanitarian paragons of virtue are not being applauded as they enter the UK? They're entering secretly. And also, why is the public not being told where they are being resettled? So I think that's an important point to raise potentially with the Canadian government, because obviously if the UK government is maintaining a cloak of secrecy, it's very, very, very likely that Canada is doing the same, and France, of course, and possibly Germany.
I think you're absolutely right, and I'm glad you raised it. Vanessa Bila, we're very grateful. We know we kept you up late, and we thank you very much.
No, it's fine.
Okay, Doc. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much, Phil. Bye.
Sure. Bye. And this is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM, and we're going to I want to make sure I announce Eve Angler is coming to town. He's going to be in Toronto on the 22nd. 6 p.m. at 100 McCall Street, speaking to a group, World Beyond War is the organizer. He's also going to be on Sunday at 2 o'clock, that would be, I guess, the 23rd, at speaking at OISE, that's Socialist Action. And then more action, at 6 p.m., he's speaking to the at the Friends House at 60 Lowther to the Betsatun organization. And on he's going to be in Hamilton on the 24th, and he'll be talking at McMaster University at 12:30. And at 7 o'clock that evening, he will be at the New Vision United Church, and that's across from the City Hall, and that's on the 24th. So Eva's got a new book, and he's going to be in town. We're going to take a little musical break, and we hope to come back with Justin Bahunga.